Hear the lovely sounds of Sal Viviano off his Perfectly Frank Century Sinatra CD, available in stores and online right now. This is very hard for me to turn off, but I will, because Sal's actually in studio with us here on WJBC. Nice to meet you, and welcome to Bloomington.
Thank you, Susan. Nice to meet you. I'm glad to be here.
A big show tomorrow night that Tina Salamone, your apparent friend from way back, who is also here in studio, director of the BCPA. She's been telling me pretty much about the fact that you were coming even before it was arable, before even the arts partners were able to buy tickets. She's like, guess who I've had for Frank Sinatra's birthday? Guess who I have? I have Al. Oh, my God. I can't believe I have Sal. Sal Viviano, you are known in the industry as the Sinatra guy. And I looked at your bio earlier, and you've done a lot of other stuff, which is very, very respectable.
I'm exhausted.
Are you okay, though, being the Sinatra guy when people need Sinatra?
Well, that's very nice of you to say. Of course I'm okay with it. My gosh, who wouldn't want to be associated with an icon of that stature?
When did you start to become the Sinatra guy? Because there's a lot of people that will sing Sinatra,
right.
A lot of people that call themselves crooners, but there's more to it than being the most respected Frank Sinatra singer in the business.
Oh, thanks. It hasn't been that long, actually. I certainly never set out to honor Sinatra in that way and to do tribute shows to him or really even to cover his music. But, early on I started as an actor, and Tina and I acted together in college and went on our professional way. We actually met in the crib. We're about 12 and a half now.
Well,
right?
Yeah, he's a brother from another mother.
There
gotcha.
You go.
For sure.
But early on in my career, I was acting and making my my way through career. I got all my union cards in Chicago. Actually, my first job was a radio job.
Really?
Yeah.
Which station?
It wasn't a station, but I did commercials that ran on radio primarily.
Gotcha.
And the first commercial I ever did was for Big Boys, Bob's Big Boys.
Nice.
Elias Brothers, actually. Now it's Bob Big, depending on where you
voice
are.
Voiceover or jingle?
It was a jingle.
Ooh,
wanna hear it?
Yes, please.
Ain't it time you did something nice for your tummy? Tell it thanks a lot for all it's done for you. Elias Brothers restaurants have food that is yummy. They're all over Michigan, up north and to the south. Elias Brothers restaurants will feed your hungry mouth. Elias Brothers is the home of the Big Boy and a lot of other very good stuff.
Nice!
Wow. I bet the opera training came in really handy.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I think I was 18 when I did that. But that was my first union gig. And then, I got my other union cards. And did
a lot of time on Broadway.
I did. I did subsequent to that. I made my Broadway debut in 1984 in The Three Musketeers, a big splashy mm-hmm. operetta with a lot of sword fighting and, it was very, and a horse, a live horse. Unfortunately,
wow.
I entered behind the horse. And
are they able to
everything
train?
That you think, yeah.
Are
no.
they able to train the Broadway horses?
Not so much.
No? Okay.
No, you would think.
Yeah.
They tried.
So there's a stagehand that's like, I'm not getting paid enough.
No, they actually bought a union card for the groom who used to drive them in from New Jersey over the bridge every day, and they put him in a costume and gave him a little pail and a broom. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Because it happened every night, and then they decided someone's got to clean that up. You
right.
can't, because he entered down the aisle with D'Artagnan on his back, actually.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, and I was behind the horse. Thank you very much. Yeah, not
That's
so fun.
Funny.
So you
every
started,
night.
So you started
no matter when
for,
they fed him, no matter when yeah. they what they fed him, and there it was.
Every
yeah.
single night. And
yeah.
and that's a smell that
a
boy,
ham.
Once it hits it in your nose,
yeah,
you're never
going
to get rid of it.
No.
So you started looking for things that didn't involve a horse
yes.
or animals
yes.
or children.
I so backed you, my way into
yes.
the business.
So
and
you could
Frank
be the
seemed to be the many years later, I started doing concerts and continued to do Broadway shows and off-Broadway shows and national tours, everything. And television and film, too. And there was a great conductor by the name of Skitch Henderson who hosted I got hired to do this series of concerts that he was hosting. Skitch Henderson had been the musical director on the old Tonight Show
mm-hmm.
way back with Jack Parr and then stayed in when Johnny Carson took over, too, for several years until he went to college. Went to prison. He was a colorful guy.
All right.
But he had been a musical director at MGM with all the big stars, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, everybody. And it played for Judy Garland and Fred Astaire and was an amazing musician and a great guy. He had been a fighter pilot in England. And he was such a colorful guy. Well, anyway, he was narrating these concerts that I did, and one day he came back to me, you know, backstage between acts or something, and he said, "You know, you're pretty good. You're pretty colorful." He said, "Anybody, you sing Sinatra, right?" I said, "No, no. You mean his song? No, never have." He said, "Well, you should. You got it. You got the sustain. You've got the timbre. You've got." He said, "You don't sound like him, and you certainly don't look like him, but you should be singing those songs." I filed it away. I didn't really think about it. A few weeks later, he called and said, "Hey, I want you to do a gig with me." It was in Chicago. It was a show in Chicago, a private party.
Now, at this point in time, is Sinatra still alive?
Sinatra was still alive,
and
yes.
And still performing?
Yes.
And still his final days?
Absolutely. And Skitch had founded the New York Pops at Carnegie Hall,
which
goes on today. And it was, you know, one of the great Pops orchestras in this country and remains so today. But he was the founder of it and the maestro and the music director. And just a colorful guy. You know, everything that we think about Doc Severinsen with a colorful wardrobe, he took that from Skitch. Skitch was a natty dresser, somewhat more tasteful than Doc. And I love Doc. But you know, you never saw him in the same thing twice. And the guy had sartorial splendor really was invented for that guy. Anyway, and fascinating. So he said, "Listen, on this, we're going to do some Sinatra on this. And you got to," he said, "here's the tunes I want." And he assigned me a bunch of songs. Not only did he conduct the orchestra, he sat down and played. He was a brilliant pianist. And so there I was, rehearsing with Skitch Henderson. I'm at the elbow of the guy who was at the elbow of Frank. You know?
No nerves, I'm guessing, at this
no
point.
No nerves whatsoever.
Because an audience, the moment you tell them, "I'm going to do Sinatra," they know it's on the menu, that
right.
it's going to happen. They're already with their arms crossed.
Of course.
And waiting for you to disappoint them.
"Oh, yeah, funny boy, make me laugh."
Pretty much.
Well, and he introduced me that way. I was thinking there'd be no mention of Frank. And Frank, as I said, was still singing. And I thought, that's terrible. You know, he didn't tell me what he was going to say, but, you know, he, of course, mentioned Frank. He was great pals with Frank. And he did me a great favor, Skitch did, in introducing me to that part of the American Songbook that I really was not familiar with.
Most people don't realize, because Frank Sinatra made it look so effortless, how difficult it is to actually sing Sinatra well. I don't know if you saw the television show earlier this week, the Sinatra 100.
I recorded it. I couldn't watch much of it, to be honest.
I will say there were some excellent performances on there. Lady Gaga, to be one of them, which was a big surprise. But Seth MacFarlane, I thought...
Love him.
...had the best true sound that was that full sound. Since you have sang every genre, I'm guessing, that exists, what is it about the Frank sound that you can create, that you work so hard at making right?
Well, his breath control was extraordinary. He trained like an athlete to sing, and he continued to throughout his life. You know, he stayed in great shape. You know, certainly his body changed like everybody's does as you get older, but he stayed, even with all the other things that he may have done to his person that were not good for his person.
Yeah, he would be up on stage with a cigarette in one hand and
absolutely.
A cocktail in the other.
Absolutely. And you know, he was buried with a bottle of Jack Daniels, for gosh sakes. You know, he really was. But, you know, he did take care of himself, and he took care of his voice. And his voice went through different periods, as everyone's does. And yet he came back time and time again. And that sound was undeniable. He certainly was the sound of his century that will, you know, live on long after all of us.
Well, we're already very excited, I should say, but also reverent to be celebrating the anniversary of his birth, 100 years, with Saturday Night Show at the Bloomington Center for Performing Arts. This show is not going to include you in, like, Frank Sinatra makeup or, you know, anything like that. But tell us about the show, because I'm excited not only to hear you sing, but about the band.
Right. Well, most people do think, I'm glad you mentioned, I don't look a thing like Frank Sinatra. We share being Italian and Sicilian.
You have a certain mojo, though.
Do I?
That I will say feels Sinatra-esque.
Could it be my name, Viviano Sinatra?
Could be a little bit. I figure you know a guy or two.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to make sure I'm on my best behavior.
Yes, I've got some relatives in the cement business and in the fish business.
And they're on speed dial. Show, what should people expect?
Well, and Frank and I also both, he was the head of the Friars Club. He was the abbot for over 20 years. I am a friar. I worked with many of the same songwriters that wrote songs for Sinatra. You know, if you wrote a song for Sinatra, first of all, you knew it was going to be recorded in an A way, and it was going to get airplay, and it was probably going to be a hit because he was such an icon. And he really ruled the recording industry.
And you would have a full-time pension because you
had
a Sinatra song.
Right. And everyone would sing it for the rest of your life and well beyond. And your wife and your fourth wife would be taken care of and all of their children. So at the ends of their careers, many of the songwriters that created for Frank, I had the chance to record for, do concerts for, do a couple of Broadway shows for Cy Coleman, who wrote so many hits for Sinatra. He put me in two of his Broadway shows, co-starring in them. And so to get that opportunity, and again, at the time, I wasn't so much connected to Frank, but I was connected to the people that were connected to Frank. I never met him, unfortunately.
That
I
was
going
to be my next question. No. If you ever had the opportunity to meet him, or were you even ever able to be in a live concert, as a patron?
Unfortunately. But I certainly have watched more than my share of his live concerts.
Now, what about Frank Jr.?
Well, Frank Jr. I've met, certainly. Okay. I've actually never seen him in concert. He's terrific in concert, I hear. I know a lot of the people that play for him and that manage him. And I've had many conversations with Frank Jr. I wouldn't call him a friend. He's an acquaintance.
I have a feeling you guys are competing for the same gigs.
Well, oh, gosh, no. That's sweet of you. In some ways, maybe no. I don't think we are.
Okay.
In the sense that if you want Frank, if you can afford Frank Jr., get Frank Jr. Because he certainly does cut the figure of his father in some ways. And he's terrific. And he's Frank Jr. There's no one else ever going to be Frank Jr.
But he also has fine taste in musicians. That's
he
why
does.
I want to hear about this live show tomorrow night. Again, we're talking with Sal Viviano, who is doing Frank Sinatra justice on Saturday night at the BCPA. And tickets are still available. Limited quantities. Get yours quickly through artsblooming.org. But you're bringing the big band, which makes me so happy.
Absolutely. It's players from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. And we're using a smaller complement, an 18-piece complement, which really is it's the size that Frank would have used in this kind of a concert. And so these great iconic songs that we all grew up with listening to, that we can still listen to, we're hearing in those same orchestrations and arrangements with which Frank sang them. So that's exciting. And I have I have collected these orchestrations and arrangements over the last few years in the idea of putting together a show to honor Frank in his centenary year.
Because of your affiliation with Tina, and Tina and I are sisters from another mother.
Yes.
We're connected.
We're all related
we
then,
are,
Susan.
Absolutely.
I have a sister named Susan, actually.
Thank you
I do.
For telling me that, because I keep thinking our Susan name is becoming a dying breed.
I love the name Susan.
I'm the future Edith of the world, is the way it sounds in my head. But I know
my sister Susan is coming Saturday night with her husband, one
fabulous.
Of her daughters. Yes, awesome. Yes.
Because you grew up not in this area, though. I know you went to school in Eastern, but you're from Detroit?
Yes, I went to school at EIEIU.
So there,
with
are,
Tina.
Are the family coming from Detroit down
well,
here?
Well, no. Actually, when I was in high school, we moved to Illinois.
Okay.
So I went to high school in Schaumburg, Illinois, which
Alrighty.
Is north of here.
Been there. Paid a
yeah.
toll.
Yes.
But I just wanted to double check, though, for Saturday night's show.
Yes.
It seems like you guys have been in town for a couple of days together, so say it's social media. So have you been practicing with the orchestra all of this time?
We haven't been rehearsing with the orchestra.
Know their stuff.
They know their stuff. They're going to be. I'll really see the orchestra for the first time tomorrow. It all happens in one day. Isn't that exciting?
Gosh, when you work with professionals, you can do that, but it's also very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to take a short break here, Sal. So pardon me, but I am going to put you on the spot. Can we get a little sample of you doing a little Blue Eyes something after this short break? I need to come back here on WJBC. But could we get? I'm getting the wink. I'm getting the wink and the nod. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
So I think we're going to get a little sample from Sal after this on WJBC, the voice of Central Illinois.
JBC.com.
Someday I'm going to sell the rights to this show off the air. We're going to take whatever happens off the air, and you're just going to pay a high premium as to what you missed. But at this point in time, everything was off the record, and we'll leave it that way.
And I need a show.
Tina Salamone from the BCPA is in with her friend and also one of her favorite artists to promote in the entire world, Sal Viviano. The Frank Sinatra, celebrating 100 years of his birth, lands tomorrow night and will also be the big show at the BCPA. And I know tickets are still available. That shocks me, though, because if you know anything about Frank and how to celebrate his life, Sal's name comes up in conversation. So before we go to news, Sal, I know I'm putting you on the spot like an audition, but, give me your 60-second audition piece so everybody knows what they're going to enjoy tomorrow night, if you please.
Well, here's a song that I'm not going to sing tomorrow night, but it's on the album, on the 2-CD set, Perfectly Frank, A Century of Sinatra. And it's a song that Frank sang in 1944, written by Julie Stein and Sammy Kahn. It's a song I think we can all identify with, and it's a great song. It was nominated for the Academy Award from the picture Anchors Away, in which Sinatra starred with Gene Kelly. And in the picture, you find Sinatra sitting on the stage alone at a grand piano on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl, that immense stage, and the whole place is empty during the daytime. And he's dressed as a sailor. And there he is, lamenting something we can all identify with. And this song was, the picture won the Academy Award for Best Score, and this song was nominated. There are those who can leave love or take it. Love to them is just what they make it. I wish that I were the same, but love is my favorite game. I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever last. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled in the past. And still I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast.
Okay, I know I'm bringing my wine and my sippy cup in the BCPA tomorrow to watch you sing, but I'm going to need two-fisted. I'm just saying. And a big box of tissues.
Well, Susan, it's early, and there's no orchestra playing.
And it was still that good.
Isn't that a sweet song?
We have to go to news. Ladies and gentlemen, get your tickets. Artsblooming.org, salviviano.com. Learn all about the man who is perfectly frank on stage tomorrow night in celebration of Old Blue Eyes' 100th birthday. Thank you for joining us here on WJBC.